Talk given Saturday, 29th July, 1972. How genuine is man's concern with religion? Perhaps it is more to the point to inquire, how genuine is our concern with religion? Because we meet here specifically because, as we say, as we imagine, we are concerned with religion. And if we look clearly enough into ourselves, we will find that we have rather missed essential points in connection with religion and the religious life, which will show us that our concern with religion has not been sufficiently genuine. For instance, we can all say that the self and the not self, as conceived by us, is the root of duality and of conflict. But having said it, we still live in terms of the consciousness of self as an isolated entity from the not-self. That is one example of it. We use phrases like the one total reality. Brahman or Atma is the all, the everything. And yet we behave, that is to say, not merely externally, physically, but inwardly in our own minds, we function as if it was not a one total reality, but an unrelated multiplicity. This is how it actually happens. And yet most of us could lay our hands on our hearts and say with great sincerity, but I am convinced that there is only one total reality. I am convinced that life is one great unity. If I am convinced, how is it that I'm incapable of living according to it? You see? This is the way we can test ourselves. We ourselves can hold up the mirror of truth before our own eyes as we investigate reality and the truth about ourselves. Just consider carefully why it is that although there may be a complete intellectual assent with the great words of Scripture, with statements like one total reality and so forth. Why is it that in spite of that intellectual assent, we are so incapable? What's missing? First of all, we must see quite clearly that when we give an intellectual assent, we are still separate from that to which we give our assent. intellectual assent is given under conditions like this, that I, the seeing subject, am looking at an external object. In this case, the external object is a set of words. It represents a thought, an idea. My intellect accepts it for various reasons and says, yes, this is the truth. But you see what has happened. The actual event is one in which I, the living person, am separate from that at which I am looking. I am, therefore, in the state of isolation from what I call the truth. One has to see this very, very clearly, that this is exactly what happens whenever we give our intellectual assent to any statement. But where religion is concerned, and remember that the context of religion is transcendence, a transcendence which includes everything in complete relationship. Where religion is concerned, truth has to be realized by oneself. That is to say, it has to become utterly real, utterly second nature, utterly natural to ourselves, as contrasted with truth merely held as a string of words and ideas through intellectual assent. This is our problem. We say sincerely but glibly, oh yes, I see the truth of that. I don't. Not in the religious sense. I see it in a purely intellectual sense, in a philosophical sense, if you like. But not in the religious sense. Because in the religious context and for the religious consciousness, seeing the truth is identical with being the truth. This is our problem. Again, let us ask the question, what is lacking? May I put it this way? What we lack is the actual living sensitivity in us to the truth. When I look at what is called truth and say, yes, that is the truth, and I'm giving an intellectual assent to it, as I've tried to explain already, I am still a separate person looking at it. How do I become one with it? It is extremely difficult to present this adequately in words. But take up this word sensitivity. Sensitivity characterizes the living organism. The sort of sensitivity you and I have is not possessed by a stone or a lump of iron. Now, this sensitivity which characterizes us is indispensable for complete and total awareness. If we can throw out a real sensitive feeler to that which is represented by the words and the thoughts which intellect sets up, then that sensitive feeler unites us organically with truth. This feeler, this feeling, is not an emotional something. It is not an aesthetic perception. It is not what people so easily fling about, my intuition tells me it is so. Nothing tells me. I am it. When that sensitive feeler goes out, it's impossible for me, at present anyway, to describe this sensitive feeler. I can't analyze it any further. This extraordinary sensitivity by which you become one with what is represented by the words. And when you become one with what is represented by the words, that is part and parcel of your nature. Spontaneously, unconsciously, it functions freely in you. If the one total reality has become a truth for me, then my whole physical and mental functioning, my total psychophysical functioning, will naturally, spontaneously express that truth. I cannot have any reaction of hate or violence towards anybody or anything. It becomes impossible for me to take sides in any matter whatsoever, in any situation or proposition, in anything which arises in my life. I cannot take sides. There is no partiality at all, no preference at all, no worldly criteria whatsoever come into play. That's the real meaning of taking no sides. Why? Because functioning in terms of the one total reality, one is the whole all the time, in consciousness, in the depths of consciousness. Obviously not bodily. You see, what it means to be the perfected Holy One, what the fruition of religiousness in us means, means that the mind has become utterly pure. No longer is it a case of my mind. It is the mind functioning through this particular manifestation which goes by one's name. Now this sensitivity is the thing that is wanted. When we look, hear, touch, taste, smell, when we go on talking discursively in our minds silently, which we call thinking, or rather miscall thinking, when all these things take place, be very, very mindful and awake to the fact that the seeing, the hearing, the touching is taking place in terms of a duality, I and the seen object. You remember the Buddha's words? In the seeing, there is only the seen. Not you and I, not I and it. And this becomes a natural state of awareness, of total awareness. In that total awareness, there is no disharmony, there is no samsara, there is no causality, there is no sorrow, suffering, or sorrow-making. See, this sensitivity is something we do not have. Our natural heritage through evolution from our primordial ancestor, plus our socio-cultural heritage and conditioning, have placed us in the situation of conflict. The conflict which arises from our being conscious of our own organism in terms of self, separated from the rest which is not self. This is what stands in the way of this sensitivity. Consider, if this sensitivity functioned freely in us, would there be anything but transcendent love functioning freely all the time in our lives? Would there be anything but transcendent wisdom, goodness, purity, and so forth? Because in terms of the whole, nothing unloving, nothing unwise can take place. The unloving and the unwise can emerge only in terms of a conflict caused by the splitting up of the whole into separate, unrelated parts. This is the point, the unrelationship. And all of it, all this trouble exists right within the deeps of our consciousness, right in the mind itself. Understand this and we'll understand why the great teachers were concerned with the mind of man, with the soul of man, with the psyche. Use any word you like, it doesn't matter. Most of us, many of us present here, have a profound interest in Buddhism. And we all know that one of the deep teachings of Buddhism, perhaps the deepest teaching in practical terms, is in the one word, mindfulness. Now, consider this extremely carefully. What sort of mindfulness have I? Is it not a loveless mindfulness? I am observing that. I am in the state of separation. The state of separation is the state of sorrow, it's the state of hate, it's the state of resentment, out of which can come anger and disruption. This is how I'm mindful. And now see how it is impossible to avoid the selfishness involved in that mindfulness. I am looking at that because I have been told in the scriptures that by mindfulness I shall realize freedom from sorrow and enter nirvana and all the rest of it. This extraordinary selfishness, this selfness, this thing which wounds and hurts the whole, the living reality which is the totality, which is God, which is you. See, it's not enough for the intellect to see it. When the heart and the mind, the heart and the intellect, are both pierced right to the depths with the wound of love, then don't run away from it. Don't try to staunch the flow of blood that goes. Because that is the great cleansing, illuminating, liberating element. No man can see God and live. There are such profound meanings to that statement. So you see, my mindfulness is a loveless mindfulness. And the calm and the balance which I seek. Now we shall practice the meditation which is directed towards attaining samatha, towards attaining calm. Attaining for me, of course. And the calm which is attained, the balance, the poise so-called, is one which excludes the tumult of my neighbor. Can I be in calm if my neighbor is in tumult? But if I am sensitive, totally sensitive, then the calm, the eternal bliss that lies at the heart of all being, which belongs to totality, to the absolute reality, will function through you, the individual, although your neighbor is still in tumult. You see, the significance and implications of these things. You see why you can never go to a teacher and be taught these things. Can your teacher eat on your behalf when you are hungry? If he can do that, he can certainly teach you the way to realize the ultimate real. But he can't. He can, through love, stimulate you to eat of the spiritual bread and drink of the spiritual wine. He can do that. But he cannot force you to do it. See what happens in ordinary organic life. If the parent is so stupid as to force the infant to eat this, that, and the other, or tells the child, either you eat it or something dreadful will happen to you. See how that child's life gets distorted. And the poison in its soul comes out in destructive action later on in life. And harmful to its own health. But if the parent or whoever it is in charge is intelligent and is sensitive to the child, then that attention, that mindfulness of the child, full of love and wisdom, will make that child come to its fruition. And this is the story of life, of human life. Otherwise, we never realize our true humanness. Problem of sensitivity. So we have to learn to put out this great feeler or feelers continuously, these sensitive feelers. And you may ask, well, what do I do? Hasn't it been said once, twice, 100 times, 1,000 times? To be completely mindful and attentive, not partially. I being mindful of you. Just mindful. Let your life energy go out through every sense activity. Let your whole life just flow out through every single thought and feeling process. And if you really care, irrespective of what you're caring for, but really care, then love heals and makes whole. Not my love for you or your love for me. This is the limiting factor. But just love does everything. Just as space contains the total manifested universe. That's how it happens. Now, if this permeates the psyche, you will experience a state of calm which is coupled with perfect ease. The conflictless condition. The condition of infinite resilience. One doesn't hurt, one doesn't get hurt. And this harmless state, utterly harmless state, psychophysically, is the state of communion, where the separation of self and not self has disappeared. And it needs no effort of body or mind to maintain it. Nor, in fact, does it need the stressful effort to produce it. It is the natural state. The natural state of human being is the divine state. Not what we have through the ages misdefined as the human state, the state of conflict and struggle and so forth. All right. In this state, just let's go into a little meditation. Let the mind and the body, the whole psychophysical organism, be in this state of calm which is not loveless, which does not resist anything. Just perfectly at peace, a peace which is total. And in that state, you will notice that one is in relationship with everything around one and everybody around one. One is at home in the body, living in the body. And body is a word which includes totality, which stands for totality. That is the real meaning of body. Whatsoever can be cognized, is part of the one body. Now you may recall that we have on various occasions carried out what we called an earth meditation. You remember? Here we are, and we conjure up before our mind's eye gradually the whole earth as it is at this moment, and particularly all the human beings in it. And we see that everything that human beings do, feel, think, say, everything is taking place simultaneously over the whole globe. Now, it's all very well to conjure it up before the mind in imagination as a picture. Try today not to let it be a picture external to oneself. We are it. This body which goes by our own name is the total body also, because it is so integral a part and parcel of the total body that in truth one cannot separate it. In the truth of perfect vision and awareness, so be sensitive, just be sensitive to the fact of the whole earth at this instant. And all that is happening inside the body of the planet and on its surface, throughout the different kingdoms of nature that we know of, and try and be sensitive to all that we don't know of also. Just remain in the state of sensitivity, the state of union, in other words. And in that state of union, one can know in the religious sense, the truth of what has been presented in the scriptures of the world. And we can know it not merely as so many verbal statements which raise up in our minds various pictures or stimulate our imagination, but we know it by being it. Transcendence is no other than this which is here and now. Nirvana is no other than samsara. All the gods and the angels and so forth, all that is relegated to the realm of mind and so forth, is here now a reality of one's own being. Let us be sensitive to the fact that the life of totality is represented and is apparent to us in so many, through such variety. And all these characteristics, these powers, and so forth, are all just one self. Not the separated self, but the total self. Some religions have talked of archangels, angels, and so forth. Others have talked of dhyani buddhas, of devas. They have talked of the denizens of the unseen world, and so forth. They are all part and parcel of our own minds as the mind functions in so many different ways, that is all. But be sensitive to it, for in being sensitive to it, one purifies it. If one merely looks at it objectively, identifies one's separate little ego with a great archangel, all that happens is that one becomes Lucifer, who got thrust down into hell. And this happens to us very rarely if we make mistakes. In this sort of meditation, because one is dealing with power, energy, and it energizes everything in us, the good and the bad alike. Therefore, selflessly be sensitive. And you will find the same holds good with regard to the jhanas, the avasthas of the Upanishads as they are called, the deep states of consciousness, to use a straightforward English phrase. Be very sensitive to it all. just as that sensitivity extended towards all that is sense-perceived is concerned with body, the one and total body of the universe itself, so too that sensitivity functioning through pure mind is concerned with pure awareness, what is sometimes called absolute consciousness or cosmic consciousness, which has no meaning in terms of space or quantity or measurability. But is the ungraspable reality. Only the separate self, the isolated self, which tries to grasp at anything. Where there is union, where there is the real samadhi, there is no grasping. And this is one of the deepest depths of yoga. When yoga talks of the restoration to the total reality, this is implied in that restoration, that there is no grasping whatsoever. No isolated self. If we can be really sensitive to this, then we are in real meditation, real communion. Just try and let the mind rest in that state for a few minutes.